Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks. Welcome to the show. This is another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. We have a great show. We're going to be highly informative. You're going to learn a lot of stuff tonight. These are things that your lawyers aren't going to tell you. You're not going to find out unless you get someone who has the smarts to research this and search it out and get it done. It's going to be very important information tonight. We're going to show how many people who have been wrongly accused of certain things, or even if they have been rightly accused, the courts are committing fraud across this country. It's unbelievable. And we're going to touch on that here tonight on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. But first, I got to pay homage to my friends who support my show each and every week. And Goldie, just hold on right there. I'm going to play this little commercial, top of the hour break, and I'll be back right after this, folks. Check it out. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be
Thank
right
you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray USA right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray USA.
All units, stand by for a special announcement. Emergency traffic only.
11:45. Prince William calling, 11:45. This is the final call for 11:45. Officer Ashley Gwinden, end of watch, February 27th, 2016. May you rest in peace.
This message is brought to you by TheAmericanBrand.org. We are a 501c4 nonprofit founded by veterans for all Americans to strengthen the roots of American working class by telling the stories of America through citizen storytellers. In partnership with Patriot Nation Radio, We are donating $50 to the nonprofit Devil Dog USA with each purchase of a $250 lifetime membership to theamericanbrand.org. Devil Dog USA is dedicated to helping homeless veterans find housing and opportunity. Sign up today at theamericanbrand.org. That's theamericanbrand.org for a lifetime membership and use the sales code Devil Dog USA at checkout. Again, that's one word, Devil Dog USA. Help us give honor to those who have served.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
There you have it, folks. Don't forget, check out Devil Dogs USA. Our very own host, Gonzalo Duran, founder of that great organization there up in the Bronx in New York, also running for, I believe, a seat on the commission up there. His show's Wednesdays at 7 o'clock right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Vet Talk with Sergeant Gonzalo Duran. Of course, DaveBrayUSA.com. Check out Liberty Rush and so many more fun things out there on the internet that support patriots, patriotism, and the American way. I got to back this up, man. The sunlight's killing me. I got the window open. Tonight we'll be talking about the importance of audio recordings in a court proceedings, how to obtain your tapes if you need to acquire your tapes, and how to use them to prove fraud upon the court, which most likely each court is doing. And when you prove fraud upon the court, you have freedom. They have to dismiss it because they're cheating. And of course, tonight we will be having our return guest. We're going to try and get through this a couple times, make sure that folks understand exactly what's happening. And our guest tonight will be, hopefully Eugene will be able to join us. He's the man who won the case, who got this whole ball rolling, did so much research along with Goldie. There's been others on the case researching, and there's been a lot of things happening and going on, but they have come up with a lot of great information regarding this issue concerning audio recordings in court and how you can use them to your benefit, as they are your property. They are record of the proceedings. And I want to welcome to the show our good friend, Goldie. What's happening, my friend?
Well, good afternoon, or should say good evening, Mark. Thank you for having me on your show again today. Eugene will be joining us soon. He's at an important conference today with his uncles and their advisors discussing the future of our country. Thank you. I'll put him
indeed.
On as soon as he comes in.
Absolutely. Well, you heard my intro tonight. Basically, what we wanted to express to begin with is the importance of the audio recordings in a court proceedings. So through your due diligence and your research, you've come up with a lot of things that you've found out. And so how important to a court case are the recordings?
Well, you can't have a court case without the recordings. And this is how that works. Everybody has the record of the court, okay? Imagine you have a circle there, and the circle is your entire court files. And in order to proceed through court with your circle intact, it has to have all elements inside that circle to make it a fair due process and have a fair court. Well, if you start that circle out with taking out a few pages or taking out the tapes or changing the documents or the docket, it means you don't have a complete whole file, a record of the court, in order to proceed in a fair due process. So the tapes are part of your fair due process. They're part of your file. They are records of your court. And without those tapes, you're not allowed to proceed to anything else. But the judges and courts will keep filing. Okay, and the judges now and the courts now are telling you, well, tapes don't exist. Well, they do exist. It's actually law of the land, the Court Reporters Act, and other numerous laws, Smith versus Smith, it's on my page. And but there's the they continue processing you through the court without a complete record of the court. And actually, the tapes are the only true record of the court because everything else can be doctored. Sometimes nowadays, including the tapes, are even doctored. They don't want anybody to know what really happened in court that day with you. So you walk out of there, and afterwards you get your tapes or you get your records or your transcripts, and you say, hey, I didn't say this. Hey, that didn't happen, because they have their ways and means to change everything. Everything, when you walk in there, everything can be changed except for the tapes. And they're cutting that off from everybody in this country, too. So nobody in this country is actually getting a fair due process without your full record of the court. Now, with the judges and lawyers, they don't want you to know. Your own lawyer doesn't want you to know and doesn't want you to have these tapes because he doesn't want you to know how you've been cheated. He doesn't want to know how the judges cheated you, the lawyers cheated you, the clerks cheated you, okay? When you got somebody on tape recording lying, well, yeah, you got a great case there, okay? They're frauding you in court. You got that on tape. Okay, no, they can't have that. They can't. You can't know how they're cheating you, because then they would be guilty of frauding you.
We have somebody who is watching the live feed right now. Her husband has been incarcerated for mishandling classified information. He took 6 photographs on a submarine. You may have seen the story. And
no.
It's a double standard, which was being pointed out, is Hillary Clinton mishandled at least 150 classified documents and ran for president. He mishandled 6. He had taken 6 photographs with his cell phone. Not allowed to do that, but he did it. He had them on his phone for a memory. You know, he wanted to take it home, show his wife, and look, this is where daddy works. And he got arrested. He got sentenced to 1 year in prison. Chances are they doctored those tapes during that court case, and they could get him out, couldn't they?
Well, you got to know military law is different than our regular laws. Okay, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about military law, but I do know, I can tell you this, the procedures are the same. He's entitled to his fair due process in a court of law. Now, if he goes in, gets copies of all of his records, asks for his tapes, they refuse him his tapes, then there's fraud there. And even if he doesn't get his tapes and he looks at things and it's not accurate and this word is missing, you know, you'll be reading your transcript and they'll say, so-and-so said ... Well, ... Well, if you have a ... 1 or a ... 2, that's one thing. That can be called an error. But if you have a lot of them, that's not an error. That's one of their tactics. That's what they do. Okay, if you're missing way too many words, that's their way of doctoring your tape so you don't know what really went on in court. Okay, and that gives them, reasonable cause to say, oh, look, we made a mistake. Well, you know, if you have too many of those, I'm sorry, it's just not a mistake. 1 or 2, yeah, maybe, but not 10, 15, okay? When you get that many mistakes, that's actually intentional and it's fraud and it means the process isn't working for you. So therefore, you can ask for your tapes to see what they said in court and if it matches what the documents say, what the transcripts say. Okay, but you got to prove you need those tapes. That's the important part. You look at the transcripts. If there's anything big, bad, wrong, you say, I need my tapes to match these up. I need to know what exactly was in court. And you could do that in military anywhere. It's court is court. He needs to go and research to see if the military tape recording laws or audio recording laws. I don't know if they're different than standard. So what else?
You would definitely have to research into that and look into that a little bit more deeply to make sure that the audio recording laws, you know, and what they are before you can actually see if it would work. That's probably a pretty good assessment of that situation.
Right.
But it could work.
Right. But if, say their audio recording laws are different than ours, say they, because they're military, they're not allowed audio. There's other ways to prove the fraud in the court. One, the best way is always get them to admit it. But that, you know, that's far and few between. But you look at all the other procedures and what's written, and you can't go forward with a case if it's missing things, if things are eliminated. You know, everything has a policy and a procedure, and you need to make sure they follow through with their own policies and procedures. Otherwise, they're cheating themselves too.
And that's why when you get the tapes and you match them up with the transcripts, there is a certain way that you have, a procedure that you have to follow, because procedure is very important in court, apparently. And if someone wanted to obtain their tapes, say they wanted to go to the court and get their own tapes, is there a procedure to do that? Or can someone just walk up to, like, the records window and say, this is who I am, this is my case number, give me my tapes?
Well, for it's pretty much the same for everybody in the court system, okay? And I can give you that right here and right now, okay? But how many of the people listening will actually understand this? You know, that's another question. But you have to write an affidavit. You have to ask for your tapes. First you go in and you ask for a form. They usually have forms, an audio tape form. Okay, the clerk of the court is going to say, what audio tapes? I have no idea what you're talking about. We don't have those there. Okay, well, there you go. There's fraud number one. Okay, so you have to put that in writing, in an affidavit, on this day, you know, who, what, when, where, why, how. I went into this court, I asked for my audio tapes that are provided me by law. This person, such and such a name, court clerk of such and such a court, told me that no tapes exist, okay? And then you have to ask them the question, are there tapes or aren't there tapes? It's always best the yes or no answers. Is there tapes or isn't there tapes? And if there are tapes, why can't I have them? And if there aren't tapes, why aren't there tapes? Okay, and you have to do that in affidavit, because the affidavit is they have 30 days to respond, and it has to be notarized affidavit, okay? And it has to be stamped received. If the court clerk refuses to stamp it received or to accept it, you get her name. She's obstructing justice, or he. They're obstructing justice for not letting you file this with the courts. Okay, by law they have to. And you tell this person, if you don't let me file this, you know, I want your name, I want your badge number, I want to talk to your boss, because I'm going to report to her that you're obstructing justice right here, right now. When that boss comes, you say, are you aware that your person, your employee is obstructing justice and you are responsible for their behavior? Okay, and that puts the blame on the higher person, because in law, it's the higher up people who are responsible for the lower down people. That's the law. So these people don't want to be held accountable at all. And hopefully they will take your affidavit and file it. Then they have the 30 days. If they don't take the affidavit and the forms for the audio tapes and they refuse it, you go home. You write another affidavit to what just happened there in court, that you were denied this, they didn't know, names, numbers, every bit of information that you can get and put down, you write it down, okay? You send it to a registered return receipt mail. When you get your little green card back that they received this, okay, since it's a second affidavit, they have another 30 days to respond to why they behave this way, why they didn't get your tapes. After those 30 days, if they don't respond at all, okay, that's fraud. They have to respond. It's an affidavit by law. If they don't respond, then you get to go to the next step, which is the Department of Justice. You have to report it to the Department of Justice that you've been frauded in court. They've committed a crime. And obstruction of justice, I'm sure you can find a slew of things to put in that complaint to them. Okay, so and you give DOJ another affidavit to go along with it that they've committed fraud, they've committed crimes against you, and they have, the DOJ has 30 days to respond to that affidavit. If they don't respond to that affidavit, where do you go from there? Okay, well, you could take this all the way to the Supreme Court. Okay, you could do the federal. Federal's not going to, you can fight for your tapes in federal court. Guess what? You're not going to get them there either. Where's the next step after federal court? Okay, the Supreme Court. Well, guess what? The Supreme Court's going to kick that back. The Supreme Court is going to tell you, well, that's law of the land. We can't hear you in the Supreme Court because we've already ruled on that. So
right.
It's like a catch-22. You can go all the way to the top, and you still can't get your tapes. Imagine that. Well, that's what Eugene did. He did that for all of us. So here's Eugene. He followed all these policies and procedures. Not just that. He won his case. He proved that they frauded him in court on a very large scale and made it all the way to the Supreme Court just as if he was you or me, and they still wouldn't give him his tapes. So what's the next step? Okay,
right.
Who has jurisdiction now when there's fraud in the Supreme Court?
All right, Goldie, I have a question here from a listener,
okay.
From a viewer here. This gentleman is John A. DeMay Jr. He ran for president a couple times. He is the first person that sued in court Barack Obama for a bogus birth certificate out in California back in like 8 or 9 or something like that. And he says he wants to know what case law is being cited that record to produce audio tapes. Doesn't a court reporter doing the job of documenting court proceedings?
Okay.
Is it
there's court reporters. Nowadays they tell you, oh, we have to hire them. It's our responsibility. No, if you go into your budgets of your counties and your states, they have IT funding, technical funding, okay? And you got to get kind of like an itemized list of your technical funding. Well, every courthouse in America has technical funding for audio tapes or videotapes. You can look
on
YouTube.
When,
oh, look, there's a video.
There was an act passed, I believe, in 1943. That required all court proceedings to be recorded. Is it 1944? I believe that was.
All 44 or 48. Matter of fact, Eugene's calling me. Why don't we bring him in right now, and he can answer that one.
Yeah, he's in
Hang
the queue right
just
now.
Hang on a second.
I can bring Eugene on right now. I got him on the board. I see him. Our great producer, Lisa.
Yeah, anybody there?
There
Hi,
you are,
Lisa.
Hey,
welcome
how you
to
doing?
The show.
I was just calling you.
Yeah, I didn't hear the show, so I'm just going to bring me up to snuff on it because I had to meet with my uncle and some of
Hang
my
on,
visitors
Eugene.
Out of New York.
Eugene, I was just trying to answer a quick question.
I think it was 48.
Okay. What year was the
48.
The court recording? 48. Okay.
48. All right,
yeah,
so it was 1948 when they decided.
We got it from the Germans. The Germans had that, and that was after the war, I guess. So basically the war was in, what, 44, 45? I couldn't tell you. It's before my time. But anyway, but the point is I heard it was 48. And then basically what she's telling you is basically the truth, but you got to remember that there's a group of people kept in the courtroom that no matter who the party is, it's a Democrat, Democrat, Republican, whatever they want to call themselves, they have somebody back there doing the work and playing around with the tapes. So they
right.
never leave because they know how the system works, you know. So I was listening to you so I can catch up when you are talking. But it got to be too big to a percentage where I had to, call in, some help for myself that I get advisors from on what to do, with this stuff. Because it's coming down to a point where a lot of people don't really know what's going on, because like Goldie said, we spotted stuff, we got stuff off the internet, really that makes me the winner in all the case. Like in the second case I tried, they can't even put my name in there. They just put dismissed, and now we found the affidavit that they sold, and in the second case we estoppeled them. So if I won the first one, and then estoppeled them in the second one, and the third one I'll win that, and then there was a four-year period where they kept me in there just trying to get me to settle, and I wouldn't settle. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on here that's above a lot of people's heads. And, Gold, you got the whole thing that shows that some of the reports were wrong, that West Lawn, Justy, and everything else had the wrong stuff up there. You see what I mean, Mark? So that means that your computer is built upon information put into it, but it doesn't have to be the right information. See, so in other words, it's only going to bring out what the information is that it's taught and let into the computer. So your head is really more important than a computer if you use it. And you know how to work in and out of shadows to get what's going on, because it's like a shadow government. And they want it one way and you got it the other way, and you're not going to win that way. And a lot of people think you can do it overnight for them, but there's so much that goes on here behind the scenes, it's just unbelievable. Like Goldie's a great technical person, one of the best I've seen on the internet, as good as some, I think the NSA or other. But you have to point in the right direction. Because we went on to this last part, right, Goldie? And it took me 10, 15 minutes to explain to her who was number two in the case, right, Goldie?
Right.
Because she was looking
for
somebody else.
It's not easy to understand some of all of this.
So I had to jump in with her and tell her I'm number two. And she said, no, it can't be, it can't be. I says, I'm number two. I know what I'm talking about, because they can't use my name in there, because you can't put me in court for the same thing when I already won the first time. So what they
said. Let me explain that a little bit. Okay.
Wait, let me
so I was reading. I was reading some a court document from Chicago about patronage, and they were revealing in these documents that yes, there is a patronage, and they kept referring to this one case. Okay, but they didn't give the case. They just said case 2005. And I'm like, what is this case 2005? I'm like, what is this they keep referring to? And I went on the hunt, and I couldn't find it. And I called Eugene, and I said, Eugene, they keep referring to this case, but I can't find it. He's like, well, that's my case. And I'm like, what are you talking about, your case? You know, it took me a minute to understand how they hide things and how they hid Eugene, and, you know, and it was quite fascinating, but it's, go ahead, Eugene, go ahead.
Well, you know, see, I had the affidavit in there for case two. I already won case one, so you can't try somebody for the second case twice. So these guys went again and did it in 2005, not to be a fictitious filer. So you go in there and again you do this, only they hid the affidavit. So when you hide the affidavit, they throw you out and dismiss you because you're alleging. See, that's why it says in there in Justee and Westlaw, people are alleging. Well, you're not alleging when you write an affidavit, because an affidavit must be answered with another affidavit or
it's
someone's
a sworn statement.
Someone's going to jail, and it ain't going to be me. So the point is, I know what I was doing. So when she hit the 205 case and they couldn't put me in there, they can't take you back into court, say, 10 years later for something that you were in court and you won already in 1990. And basically, they were still using the Shackman for firing, and they couldn't do that because I won it. As soon as I won it, there's no more Shackman. That would take my name on it and take Shackman out. Now, they kept him on for hiring. And Shackman, really, if everybody wants to know, is nothing but sort of a decree and a contract that they'll never do it again. So what happened is, because the Dailies hated the Nixons and Nixons hated the Dailies, we're talking about just hatred among people. So I play on the games that they're just people, and that I know how to talk with them because they're just people. Like I'm telling you, they're mad at one another. They have the same grudges we all have. So they hated each other. So basically, he couldn't go in there and have Shackman do this case because Nixon was in control of the courts, control everything, they would have just shoot Daley out of town, and he would never have been able to do what he was doing anymore with the jobs. So they decided to make a ruling with him that they would never do it again. So over if there are 100,000 cases or more of what they were doing, I come in and I want it, which is a no-no. Because if you win it one time, it's over. They can't afford to lose no times once they signed that decree, that contract. So then basically they try to hold it out that I won this and that, this and that. Then we came back in again and then won it again. But they couldn't put my name in the case, the second case, because I already won the first case. So they would just put in the mark as they would just say, well, it's related to case number one. See, I knew what they were talking about. Goldie didn't know because I had a pointer to where to look and what to see. Because, you know, I don't play with the internet or nothing like that because they can blackmail, do anything to you on the internet. Everything's up in smoke. Everything's up in the air. So you have to be totally perfect with everything you're doing or else they're going to try to frame you, put you in jail, do whatever they want to do for something. You cannot make a mistake. So that's why when I left today, you know, and I found out from my guys what's what and what to do, and they said there was no way I could lose this. I mean, they're beaten from beginning to end, to this, to that. The reports they wrote, and it shows that how in the newspapers they change things around, in the computers they change things around. I'm not blaming Westlaw or Justia or whatever they got for this Pacer, but they're only fed what they're fed from the courtroom. So if they're fed fraud, you're going to deal with fraud. So like in your case, if somebody uses a case against you and that's a fraudulent case, they're basing your ruling on a fraudulent case. You know what I mean, Mark? I mean, so in other words, that's the way it works. But you got to be very smart to understand how they're doing it. You got to be almost born into it because you already know that they got their own set of people behind there changing things. They change it for either side that's the mayor or either side that's the government. It's basically, say, a Bridgeport back of the yard Chicago thing that grew on a large scale to the whole wide country. So basically, if you keep it to the same case you've always been all your life small, you just take it to a bigger range and you still know what's going on because they can't change the system. There's too many people in that system. That's why you only stick to a couple of witnesses that know what's going on. They can't get confused, and they come in with the whole shebang of things to scare you, and basically they make all the mistakes they can do. See, and that's how you do it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people out there think that you can save them overnight. Well, you can't. This game has been in existence a long time. It's just like Rome. It took a long time for Rome to fall. Now we're going to see with Trump in that right now what's going to happen. Now, my basic, knowing this from inside the game, this might come back and bite the Democrats in the butt because if they find out what's going on here, and he was only with Lynch for a while, he didn't maybe do nothing wrong, he's doing this in a business detail, he's trying to settle all the problems in the Middle East with business and offer somebody this and somebody that and somebody this. That's how you do business, not politics or try to get ahead. So basically they're going to try to stop him because they don't want everything changing. They had too good a life so far. You know what I mean, Mark? And if he's taking the goodies, he's going to share the goodies with all the people because he's already rich and they got rich people in his staff. Well, what do you think is going to happen? The little people are going to be mad at him because he's rich, but they don't realize only a rich person can fight all your tax money that the other people are using. See, that's the game. They're rich too.
Yep.
And they don't want to give up on this. Hey, Mark, if you got a good thing going for yourself, why would you want somebody to come around and change that?
Right, and you want to keep a good thing going.
Yeah.
So now, now the average person's out there, and they've obtained their tapes, and now they want to prove that the courts have committed fraud against them. What would they have to do to prove that the courts have frauded them? And use that as an advantage.
They could change your tapes, do what they want, change this around. But here's the point. They can't change certain things where you go to an expert who can tell with something happening in there, the clicks, whatever's in that tape. You could find it. Like they'll tell you a lot of times, here's your tape and go get it from this and this person. Well, that person and company is in with them. They're going to fix it up too. What you got to do is just match it up, show it doesn't work, and you show fraud. And the fraud has to be done by them because only they can handle the stuff you're in. But here's the key, like Goldie was saying before. Now, my boss and me were working this together against them because we knew them. So basically, he went in for his tapes, and the Supreme Court told him, well, no, we can't talk about that because that's already a common thing. Everybody gets their tapes all over the country. He goes back out to ask for his tapes, and they said, we don't have no tapes. So you're in a catch-22. Now, also, if you read what Posner says, like in my book, he says you must have something stringent to get the tapes. So that means you got to really be out there and get something to get the master copy of the tape that's not fraud. You're not going to get it because unless you got something that shows complete fraud, it's so bad, then you're going to get it. Now, my transcript, if she gives it to you personally and you read it and then you read the stick notes and you read everything on it and I got the originals and how they stole my tape, that is stringent enough for me to go and get it. So if I go and get it and show it fraud, then the rest of the court, the Supreme Court, has got to rule and, we've got to push it out there. They got to make sure everybody else understands you get your tapes. It's got to be a ruling from them to everyone out there that you get your tapes. It's just like if you have seen that stuff with Medgar Evers or whoever the guys were in Alabama, that they put the black kids into school, you know, and they had to go with the National Guard. Well, they might have to do that to get your tapes. I mean, that's what they got to do. But they don't want to do that. And you got to understand what you do in the background of any judge is you don't look in their near background. You go back into their future when they work for the party and find out the skeletons in their closet. Now, let's look at this. I'm not saying this new guy that's investigating the president is any good, but he's friends with Comey. Do you think the Democrats would let him do this if they were such good friends? See what I mean? It would be a lack of interest. I mean, you can't have that. But that's okay. What might happen now is when he goes in there and he looks at stuff and he's got to do the right thing because he's caught and everybody's watching, it might bite them in the butt where they get the Clintons for being in there, they get Bush, they get Obama, and that's where it might end up at, not with Trump. See, because that's what they said when I went to court, how can you beat City Hall? Well, unfortunately, they overplayed their game. They might be overplaying that game right now because if you see certain senators on there, they're saying, well, we'll have to wait and see. The ones that were leading the charge against this guy have calmed down a little bit. Because now that they got their wish, they might be sorry they got their wish. You know what I mean, Mark?
Yes, sir.
It might lead into other things that goes.
Can you give me a real quick? Apparently, there's been an explosion or a bomb went off at an Ariana Grande show over in England somewhere. No reports yet on how many people are hurt or have been killed. So we got an explosion at an Ariana Grande concert. Ariana Grande in England. All right, go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's good. Well, you can see things are happening all over, and that's how they hit you. It's like guerrilla warfare. It's just like when the Indians were fighting the cavalry and they didn't have enough people, they'd strike at certain areas. Well, that's what we were doing at first, hitting them in certain areas and not going away. And then after that, you build up your thing, and you're giving them so strong with so much information, and everybody's got that, that they let you get too big. They can't stop you then. There's too many people know or got the tapes or got the transcripts of what we got and can hurt them now. So, in other words, you never let your enemy get too big, and unfortunately, they did that. See, they just couldn't control it. They never got the right person. They just didn't understand. And they were basically trying to do something that every patronage worker does, because people tell them, keep your job, do this, don't let anybody know you made this mistake and you did this and it'll go away. Unfortunately, it didn't go away. That's the problem. There was a saying in Chicago by the old man Daly, if I recall this from my grandfather, that is, you'll be dead, I'll be dead before they know what happens. Well, unfortunately, we're not dead, you know, and now everybody's starting to know what's happening. So when they're out there and writing all these briefs and doing this stuff, they're just throwing it in a waste paper basket. They don't want to read it. They don't want to look at it. They don't care. So when you write a small brief, make it smaller, put it into what you're really saying, like, hey, they were forging, they did this and they did this, and you attach that with an affidavit with all your stuff, then they must answer that. Now either they're going to throw away your affidavit or they got to answer it, and they're in trouble if they answer it, because then you stand up to them, show the evidence you got, and they're caught, and they can't have that. So they try to reach you ahead of time to deal with you. So I was going over with the people I'm dealing with on what to do, because it gets pretty big after a while. But anyway, you can talk to Goldie a little bit. I'll catch up where you guys were, but I'm just trying to show you there's more into this than meets the eye. Your regular person that goes to court and goes to work every day hasn't got the time to look into this, know this. And if you haven't got a hint on what's happening, you're out there in the dark. I mean, you're really in the dark. You're not going anywhere. It's just like, and then the lawyers can only help you so far, and that's not far at all, because they're controlled by the court system. Their allegiance is to the Bar Association. Many professors there have come back from being lawyers. They don't want to be out there.
All right. I have a full report here on the incident in Manchester. Police are dealing with a serious incident, have confirmed a number of fatalities. Officers said that yet more people were also injured in the incident and warned people to stay away from Manchester Arena while they dealt with the issue. Officers did not release any further details on what has happened. A concert by the American pop singer Ariana Grande was being staged at the time. Police confirmed fatalities after the incident. Grand Manchester police have warned people to stay away from the venue amid reports of an explosion. So there you go. So we're going to find out soon who or what did this. I'm sure it has to do with the illegal refugee crisis they have going on there. Thanks, Mandy, for sending that to me, and also James and folks over at my radio page. They helped me out with that report also. Thank you. And I got here coming on here in a second. Tomorrow here in Florida, in Gainesville, there are going to be some folks are going to roll in up there and speak at one of the meetings and stand outside one of the monuments that they want to have taken down here in the Sunshine State. And I want to let folks know here real quick about the one of the statues here in Hernando County and in all of the statues in Hernando County, Florida. As one of my acquaintances is a member of the Hernando County Commission here in Florida and stated that none of the statues are going anywhere because they have to go through the Hernando County Commission. And that includes him and some other great patriots that we got elected here locally that will not let that occur. So, but up in Gainesville, Florida tomorrow, they're going to be attending that. I'm waiting right now for my friend Josh to call in with a report from there. But having the tapes and the transcripts is vital to this this procedure, correct? And it's important that people fill out the proper affidavit to get the right things that they need to proceed with this method.
Right. Your affidavit is a powerful weapon because they must answer with an affidavit, but basically they like to throw a lot of them away, so you got to go back and back and back until that's done and you see it get in their hands and they sign for it that they got it by basically writing a letter, which you should do with a parcel post, you know, because then it becomes mail fraud. They don't give you what you want. But all you have to do is look on the record, you know, like Goldie was saying, and she could, you know, tell you more about that because I just broke into this. And basically, they can be beaten. Anybody can be beaten. It's been proved millions of times out there. But it's the point is they don't want themselves to be beaten. They made a mistake because they made it at the wrong time when they did it with Nixon in the White House. And then they had to turn to a Shackman, which is nothing more than a contract. That's all it is. So they contracted the First Amendment out. They contracted that out. And they made a mistake and they lost. They were sure they weren't going to lose. If they would have won that case, then everything would have been okey-dory for them, hunky-dory. But it just didn't work that way at that time. And a lot of other cases you could be right and people are yelling, well, I got tons of fraud in my case and I got this and I got that. Well, you know what? If you got extensive or intricate fraud, well, the judge's discretion in what is fraud. He rules there. He's the judge. You have to have them frauding them. You have to bring that judge into the fraud, the court into the fraud. You got to know what you're doing. You just can't go out there and say, allegating this and allegating that, even though you've got fraud and it's right out written on your paper. It's up to his discretion. Do you know what I mean, Mark?
Yeah, yeah. So
if he
then
says,
you would have to. Would
right,
you have to move that along to another? Would you have to move that along to another court in order to make that work?
Not only that, no, you got to go look at something that they did, one of the officials of the court did, to fraud the other court. See, in other words, who frauded the judge? That's why when you try to be too smart and you get all the stuff and you do this, instead of asking the judge to say it and asking for their lawyers to say it to the judge, then you've got extensive fraud. That means they frauded the court. A court officer has frauded the court, which brings the court into the fraud. And then, like, don't forget, they stole my tape out of the oral argument. Well, that brought in the guy from California in Chapman College, Rosenthal, signing the letter saying he took it out. Now, here's the point. Since he took it out and didn't put it back, they can't write a brief. They couldn't write a brief after June 1990. They can't do anything. What are they doing until they put it back in? That's the law. But they don't want to look at that law. You've got to produce, you've got to produce, you've got to produce. So, in other words, just because you got fraud and you're seeing all the fraud and things are wrong, if it isn't against the court, by the court, you're in the dark. You got to know what you're doing. See, you have to learn this. When you learn it as a child, then you're really pretty good at it because, God, it's like riding a bicycle. You know, once you learn how they're doing it, and you must remember this, they can't change all the rules on how they fraud because there's too many of in on it. See, well, you got the better shot when you got like little less witnesses and everything, and they stick by you. You're telling the complete truth. You're pushing them deeper and deeper into a hole. So if you think that's a long time to be out there 20-something years, it's not. Rome was not destroyed in a day. You have to destroy everything around them, everything that guards them, everything that does it to them. See, that's the point. Like, everybody's crying, my case, my case, my case. Well, here's the point. You don't do one judge, one case at a time. When you go in there, you go in with all the evidence, and you open up the whole gates for everybody to come out. But like I said, Mark, you understand what I mean in a way, don't you?
Because
one case at a time is going to take you, what, 50 years of your life, 100 years of your life? How many cases are you going to get? 50 cases? That doesn't work that way. It has to be in a mass thing where the public is really mad at them for what they're doing and seeing that everybody's getting it. See, the people forget to stick together. They're just, I want mine in, I want this in, this has got to happen in a day, this has got to... It don't work that way. It don't work that way. If you think it's going to work that way, forget about it. You're going to be in there 70 years. And you got to stay in there long because... The longer you're in there, the bigger the mistakes, the bigger the web, the bigger person you catch. You got to understand it goes way to the top. Now, everybody else, even if they want to be nice guys and they pat you on the back and they're sorry what happened to you, they can't do anything because they want to eat and live too. See, they have to feed their families. They're sorry, but they're just as guilty as the person that did it. Well, let's just talk to people. Let's figure out where you guys are at.
Give me one second here, yes, my friend.
Okay. We can take some questions, too, when you're ready, Mark.
I got a quick call about this rally in Gainesville, Florida, tomorrow from my good friend here in the Sunshine State, Josh. Going to bring him in real fast. He's got only a couple of seconds he can share what's happening, where to go, and what to do tomorrow. What's happening, Josh? Welcome to the show. If folks want to go down to Gainesville and stand with you guys and protect the Confederate monuments of Florida, fill them in on the details.
It's not only protecting the Confederate monuments; it's protecting history.
Yes.
You know, we're not the Nazis, okay? That want to erase history. We got to learn from history and grow from it. And this is a problem that nobody's realizing. You know, is when you erase history, you forget about it, and when you forget about history, it repeats itself.
Well, you know what I say, you know, too, so when you get rid of the history and the heritage, the people are next. You know, they got an awful lot of FEMA coffins they got to fill. So it's got to be a scary and alarming sign that they're trying to erase somebody's history. Just saying.
No, you're 100% right. And it's getting the new normal. I mean, we're seeing it pop up more and more and more. You know, me personally, I don't want to take my time out and go up here to stand out here with a flag and then later on in the evening to go make a speech. You know, but somebody has to make a statement, and we need everybody in the community to start making up and making a statement in their own area. So that way everybody understands, say, hey, hold on, let's stop all this nonsense. Let's learn from it.
Well,
you know,
I shared with you this weekend. I went and I stood beside the statue up here in Brooksville, Florida, and took a picture. And I contacted my friend on the Hernando County Commission, and the statues and monuments in Hernando County will be safe because they got to get through the county commission, and him and a couple of great patriots, we got elected to the Hernando County Commission, will not allow it to happen. So as far as the ones in Hernando County, we're safe.
Yeah, and also here in Lee County, we're safe also.
Amen.
So we jumped the gun. We had some other people already writing and, you know, jumped the gun, so we wouldn't have this issue. You know, but we still got to protect everyone. I mean, they are still considered veterans.
They're war veterans.
That's what people fail to realize.
Veterans.
They are war veterans. And it doesn't matter what side you're on. Okay, that was the bloodiest battle in the United States.
And folks here that listen to my show, some of these statues are their ancestors and are their past family members and folks that stood next to their family members on battlefields. And who are we or anybody to erase that history from their family and their commemorations of their family and their strife and their fight? That's ridiculous that anybody would even think that. So tomorrow in Gainesville, where's everybody assembling and what should folks do to get up there to join you?
They're assembling at the City Hall. And our group is going to be assembling there right around 1 o'clock. The other group is going to be assembling around 3. And then we have our speakers group that's going to be assembling around 5. So it's going to be basically a day-long event. So that way everybody sees, look, there really are people that do care and that don't want a history erased.
Amen.
So, I mean, if you can't show up at 1, show up at 3. If you can't show up at 3, come and make a speech at 5. We're going to be there all day long. We're going to wear them out until they hear us 100%.
And where can folks find the event page or information on your rally?
I'll post that. I'll post the link onto your live feed, and then they can find it through there, or I'll post it on your personal homepage, or they can also find it through True Stands Alone.
There you go. You got it there, folks. True Stands Alone right
Facebook.
And make sure you check out this live feed. It'll be in the comments section. And head on over to my page. Look for the Patriot Nation Radio pages, the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and the Patriot Nation Radio Show, both on Facebook. And the information will be there. And Eugene and Goldie, Josh, hey, thanks a lot. And thanks for standing for those who can't stand tomorrow. As you know, my heart's with you guys. And
I know, brother.
Praying for everybody's safety and a peaceful outcome, and that there's no violence and no trouble, because we sure as hell don't want no violence and no trouble.
No, sir. This is a peaceful event. We're standing alongside. If you want to come counter protest, do it respectfully. You have that
right.
You know, you stand your ground, we'll stand our ground. There ain't no need for nonsense, no need for any trouble. You have that right just as way as we do. If you disagree, you think those monuments need to be down, then you have your voice. But our family and everybody showing tomorrow believes it's completely different. We don't want history erased. We want to learn from history.
Right. And that's why our side isn't screaming things like take down the
white
Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard
side. Yeah, we're better than that. You know, just because we have different opinions doesn't mean we're white supremacists.
And plus, Martin Luther King was a pretty cool guy from what I can tell. So.
Yeah.
Gun-owning Republican. Although he was a
contrarian
member.
I think you actually met him, didn't you?
Yeah, maybe. I'm kind of old, you know. And I like to run.
Mark,
I
love you, brother.
And apparently I like to run over stuff.
All right. Well, you guys have a good one. I'll get all that posted up if one of the other people haven't already. And then we'll go from there. Mark, thank you for having me on the show. And until next time, sir.
All right. Thank you so much, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
All right,
peace.
Brother. Bye.
All right. There you have it, folks. That's Josh and his fellows and friends and people are heading out to Gainesville to make a stand for the Confederate monuments here, for their heritage and their history. It's very important to preserve. Whether you like it or not, it needs to be remembered always. So, folks, remember, don't erase the history. Learn from it.
Hey, Mark.
Goldie, I want to thank you guys again also for coming on. And
could I ask you one question, Mark?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Here's what I want to know. I just want to know the people out there are marching for this and marching for that and marching for everything that they don't have. How come they don't march for something that they have already but are not given? Wouldn't that be a lot easier?
Yeah, right? man, maybe we can do enough shows and scream a lot and become a squeaky wheel that people start to listen. Because I would love to have you guys join me again.
If they're taking something away from you that you have already, then you really got the right to march, don't you?
Absolutely. And a lot of things they're taking away is that First Amendment right, that squeaking away, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And it's very important that folks support Eugene in his efforts. Because things with the First Amendment could gravely change. What I want to do is I would like to ask you guys. I'm right here at the end of the show, and I have to wrap up on time tonight. And I would like to invite you guys to come on again until we get all this information out. I want people to hear this. It's very important that they hear this and understand what they can do if we all join together and request that we get our tapes, whoever's been in court. You guys are going to petition Jeff Sessions and the president with this to get their tapes released for everybody, no? Or is that the plan?
Yeah, that's part of the plan. There's about two or three ways to go in. There's a whole bunch of ways. I always think about five, six ways to do things because you never can count on one of the things. But basically, if you're ahead, you're a thinker, you think way ahead of the game. You think of what they're going to say, what they're going to do, because you already know their moves. If you know their moves, then you can cut them off and put you in there. But basically, they would have to send the federal marshals out to get the tapes for you then, because that's your right. And it's your right to have a tape. You're paying taxes for that tape. So in other words, you're marching for something else, some kind of, you know, whatever the heck you want. I don't even know what they're marching for half of the time. But the point is, why aren't you marching for something they took away from you? It helps the prisoners, helps the children, helps everything. I don't understand that. I mean, you got to explain that to me, Mark, on one of your shows. Okay.
Well, we're going to try to explain to people why they should march for something they already have that's been taken away. That's very important. And will you guys join me again? You pick the date, man. I got Mondays open. If you want to come on Monday again, we could continue this as a series. I would love to have you guys on again and again to understand this more clearly. Because I think it's important.
Well, take care of
yourself. Thank you, Mark.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I hope I helped a lot of people. I know you still have questions, but please come to the Eugene Zorich page and ask me anything. Because I run that for Eugene. If I don't know it, he knows it. And I'll be glad to help you out, fill you in, and educate you. And we have other pages, that's the Justice System and Eugene Zorich page, where I have a lot of stuff posted already for everyone. Thank you again, Mark. You're wonderful.
Give that address out. Give that address out so folks can find it.
Okay. Hashtag Eugene Zorich case. Hashtag Death of the Justice System. Hashtag Eugene Zorich. There's three pages. You can come. You can also Google Eugene Zorich, W-Z-O-R-E-K. He's all over Google. He's all over the internet. You can also go and read on injusticeexposed.org. We have a lot of videos. YouTube has many, 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 many videos of Eugene. He's been out there for 30 years exposing this and fighting for everybody's rights. And people need to pay attention because he is the only man with the winning case that can win this for all of us. Thank you, Mark.
Amen.
Yeah, Mark, I'm the only one that never seen this. I never even seen the video yet.
I've seen it a few times. I've seen a couple of
times. You know, I lived it, so I don't have to see this stuff. I know it by heart. You know what I mean? And I don't believe it. Like I said, Justy and Westlawn, you know, they just put in there what they want to put in there. You know, someone gives it to them. I don't blame them. You know what I mean? You know how that goes.
Thanks a lot, folks. Thank you again for coming on, folks. There you have it. That was Eugene Zorich and Goldie Moore talking about audio tapes and their importance to court proceedings, how you can attain your court tapes, and how you can use them to expose fraud upon the court. And we're going to get deeply into this so that people can understand what they can do to free themselves of the malarkey that is the court system today, the fraud and the deceit and the lies that happen every day in the courthouse that cause people to be illegally detained under cruel and unusual punishment and things like that. You know, you can see what's happening in some of these cases where they're locking guys up in solitary confinement in 3x3 cells, handcuffs behind their back. And they're not even convicted yet. we get, you know, this could help people like that, you know? And so we got to keep trying one way or another to wake up these folks and understand that what they can do to help save this country and save those that are illegally detained, such as our political prisoners across this country. Phew. And I want to make sure that you tune into all our shows. We got a show this Wednesday, Vet Talk with Sergeant Gonzalo Duran. Make sure to tune in right here at the Patriot Nation Radio Network, same bat channel right here that you're on. And also, you want to check out A Conservative's Perspective on Tuesdays. We got James Bostic tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Then Thursday, it's James again at 7 o'clock with A Conservative Perspective, followed by me, yours truly, with the Patriot Nation Radio Show starting at 8 p.m. Eastern on Thursday nights. And Saturdays, we have Constitutional Millennials, The Next Generation, with Patrick Miller, but he's on vacation. He's over in Germany right now, I believe, enjoying some time off with his family, visiting other family members, and he'll be back soon. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys for coming on and tuning into this show tonight. Without you, there is no show. And say prayers for those out in Manchester as the bombs are exploding at the Ariana Grande concert. And pray for our guests tonight that they have success in their message and their mission to wake up America and help save this country. And I want to leave you guys with this. This is one of my all-time favorite songs, one of my all-time favorite artists. I'm trying to get him on here for our one-year anniversary show with James Neighbors. And that's coming up June 15th. And that's Dave Bray. And we're going to play his new song, God Bless America, here probably maybe on the next show. We'll see what happens. But right now, this is his song, his version, a cappella from Pittsburgh, of the Star-Spangled Banner. If you have a flag nearby, or I'm going to move out of the way so you can use this flag, remove your hat, put it over your heart. And this is the Star-Spangled Banner, Dave Bray. Dave Bray,
you have... That's what I'm talking about. We're going to sing it together. Are you ready? Come on, Pittsburgh. Are you ready?
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight? Last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly